When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, you're listening to another episode of Popcorn Podcast with Lee and Tim. And in this episode, we're talking The Fall Guy.
I'm Timmy Fland, movie buff.
And I'm Lee Livingstone, entertainment journalist.
Did I have a bit of a song tone to that?
La la la.
Trying to mix it up almost 5 years in. And we love to talk all things movies as it goes. Now, in The Fall Guy, Colt Severs is a stuntman. He gets blown up, shot, crashed into, thrown through windows, and dropped from the highest of heights, all for our entertainment. And now, fresh off an almost career-ending accident, this working-class hero has to track down a missing movie star, solve a conspiracy, and try to win back the love of his life while still doing his day job. What could possibly go right?
The Fall Guy is directed by David Leitch from a screenplay by Drew Pearce, based on the Fall Guy series created by Glenn A. Larson.
The Fall Guy stars Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Hannah Waddingham, and Winston Duke.
All right, Tim, let's talk about The Fall Guy. People might be surprised to hear, well, we said it in the intro, so I'm probably not that surprised.
Spoiler alert.
That this film is based on the 1980s series created by Glenn A. Larson.
Yes.
Where Colt Severs, who is played by Lee Majors in the series, is a stuntman who moonlights as a bounty hunter in his spare time. They've kind of gone down that road with this film, but not quite.
Not quite. I guess the word that comes to mind is that it's inspired by the TV series. I guess it's cut from a similar cloth. He's a stunt guy and he's doing all those crazy things. But the bounty hunter stuff, a reluctant hero in real life, perhaps.
And it's also quite a big love story, this film, isn't it? In the traditional sense and in the sense that it's a love letter to stunt people everywhere.
Yes. It's a love letter in many ways. And I think that's what this film achieves really well is its balance in tone. You may think that you're going in to see shit blow up and boy, when we get to talking about stuff, you see shit blow up and fall and all that stuff. But it has heart as well. It's got real characters who are finding their way through problems and issues, and it's a really nice experience in that sense.
And also, let's hear it for the stunties, the ones putting their bodies on the line for our entertainment. This entire film, as you said, is a celebration of those unsung heroes of film, the ones who make the actors look really good and get very little credit for it.
It's a refreshing take on a film about filmmaking because it's not about the movie stars per se of the filmmaking process. It's about those people behind the scenes that do those amazing things, like you said, that make the stars look really good. But it's their time to shine here in more ways than one because of the amazing stunt work that is in this action film. But the fact that the focus on the narrative is about the stunt guy, is about Ryan Gosling. So that's a really nice fresh twist on that whole shtick.
And, you know, it's so fun to see the movie crew on screen in this meta. Like, it's a movie about making a movie, right? So the movie crew that are on screen are actual crew people.
Yes.
They're not actors paid to be crew people.
Mm.
And at the screening that we went to the premiere here in Sydney.
What an experience.
That was so fun. And people were cheering every time they recognized a friend on screen. It was such a great vibe.
Yeah, it really was. Because the film was shot here in Sydney, Australia. I say here, it's because where Lee and I are, right here in the room where it happens, a lot of the people attending the screening were people, crew, who worked on the film. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I liken that to be like stage mums in the crowd, because whenever, you know, little Billy was on the screen or little Sally was on the screen, you got these little pockets of screaming happening and cheering around the cinema. And this movie has so much energy to it,
but
somehow the atmosphere of the Australian premiere brought an exponential more amount of energy.
Yes,
and
it was
just so electric in that room.
It was really, really, really fun. And the movie is just a lot of fun to watch.
It really is.
The story isn't particularly strong.
No?
No. I guess we're not surprised by that, really. Like most David Leitch films, it's all about the action and the story just gets you from A to B by plugging in those gaps.
Yeah.
Okay, Drew Pearce wrote this one. He wrote Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Right.
So he's no stranger, I guess, to, you know, Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Cruise have said they build their stories for Mission Impossible around action set pieces.
Around the stunts, yeah.
I kind of want to say that McQuarrie and Cruise are the only ones that can get away with doing that.
Okay, fair enough.
He's also written Hobbs and Shaw. So this is, you know, it's right up his alley, this kind of film.
Yeah.
And this film actually did begin as a more serious take on the stuntman and a blue-collar hero similar to Rocky. But then it shifted to be a bit more comedic and lighthearted. And I think that tone works really well for the film. What do you think?
I think it does, because filmmaking is a chaotic process. And so this lifts the lid on the people behind that process. And there's some weird and wacky characters, which we'll talk about later. And that just gives it this really fresh and exciting take. And so the comedic lens is true to life, where your reactions to things not quite working out and you're finding yourselves in these, like, how the fuck did I get here situations, as Ryan Gosling's character does. That lighthearted tone pays off, I feel.
Some things did make me scoff out loud, though, like, ho, 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 ho.
That's a good scoff.
Yeah, it was. You know, for example, Ryan Gosling as a stuntman, he walks up to film sets multiple times with no direction, no safety checks, and just jumps straight into a stunt, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
It was like the opening sequence, which is an extraordinary piece of cinema where it's one long shot. And
it felt like it went for about 10 minutes.
It almost did. Like it was minutes and minutes long. He came in, taken over, he's on his way up. And I thought, as exciting as that was and how electric it was to see all the moving parts to pull a shot off like that, it wasn't particularly true to life in terms of...
No, but with the opening shot, you would presume we're getting dropped right into the middle of a movie that was happening already.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. You would presume that they'd done all the safety stuff and on that one.
Sure.
But it's later in the film where he just turns up on the other side of the world on a set in Australia, just walks onto set and does this... Hello, Guinness World Record breaking cannon roll.
That's right.
On the beach that's just around the corner from us.
Actually, now that you call that out, and I guess this film is quite self-aware of that, sure, because it does just throw the actors in and stuff. And you think, hold on a minute, H&S here. But he's like, he's been thrust into this film on false pretenses. And he says, like, how jet-lagged he is, all that stuff. And he's about to
literally walks off a plane onto a beach and does this record-breaking cannon roll.
Can I just say about his flight to Sydney, which those that have, who maybe live on the Northern Hemisphere and have traveled to the Southern Hemisphere, it's a long, bloody way. Like, it takes you a whole day to get to Australia, depending on where you are. I want to do what he does in the film where he falls asleep and he has like wake for meals sign on the thing. I think that's genius.
I have that. I say don't wake for meals.
You don't even you want to be disturbed at all.
Who wants to be woken for that terrible airline food? Come on.
Very good point.
There's also a moment in the film where Colt discovers a dead body and then goes back and the scene has been completely covered up and the body removed, right? But somehow the media have caught hold of it. despite the fact that the crime scene's been cleaned to within an inch of its life.
Yeah. CSI came swinging
in. Yeah, but somehow the media knows about it and they report on the crime scene after it's already been cleaned up and no one knew about it.
Yeah, I remember you tapping me on the shoulder
screening
going, wait, how? What? And those things do pop up in terms of the cohesion of the story.
It's the plots of convenience. Things just happen just to keep things moving and it's a little far-fetched.
It is a little far-fetched, but I don't know, in my experience, I just surrendered to how much fun I was having and how relatable the characters were and just how funny they were. So, yes, I'm not saying that you're wrong because you are right. Those things don't work. They don't make sense.
Of course I'm right.
Of course you're right, my darling. But I was like, you know what? It's fine. Because everywhere else you look, this movie is like banging.
Do you know what? I was blinded by the chemistry between Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. So everything else is gravy. Everything else is
everything
fine.
Everything else is gravy.
Everything else is fine.
Yeah.
Let's talk about David Leitch for a second as a director. So you could say that David Leitch has been working towards this film for his whole career.
Right.
It's a truly personal film and it's never a bad thing because it shows in the art and the audience feels that authenticity and that passion.
Mm.
And of course, David Leitch was a former stuntman.
For decades.
Yep. Mm. He's doubled for Brad Pitt many, many times in Troy, Fight Club, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He does look a bit like Brad Pitt, doesn't he?
He does a bit. I wonder, under the hood, does he have 8 abs like Brad Pitt did for Troy?
What? Under the hood?
Yes.
We're getting a bit pervy here.
Getting a bit pervy. Having a look-see.
Yeah. He's also been a stunt player on the Matrix films, 300, X-Men films, the Bourne films. I could go on and on and on anyway. But he's been around the block, basically.
He has.
So he knows what he's talking about.
Mm.
Now he's a billion-dollar director.
Yes. His films that he has directed have amounted to some almost $3 billion worldwide, which is no mean feat. What I really like about his inclusion here is, like you said, he was born to do it. He's been working in this space for so long.
Mm-hmm.
It must have felt really cathartic for him to contribute to a story as the director all about the community that he has been part of for decades, the stunt community.
Yeah.
And that's also where this film is quite meta, not only what's happening within the script, but the players in the background coming into it and contributing to the story like as a director.
It's meta to the meta degree.
Meta to the meta degree.
Yeah. And you know what you're getting with a David Leitch film, don't you? He does great action set to a great soundtrack.
Yes.
You know that's what you're getting.
100%.
Look at Bullet Train, for goodness sake. Look at Deadpool 2. Atomic Blonde is one of his most successful films.
You know what? I haven't seen Atomic Blonde.
Oh, gosh,
it's
you need to
a
see
gap
it.
In my filmography because I freaking love Charlize Theron.
That is a lesson in one-shots.
Really?
An action.
Oh my
God.
You know that's, I get weak at the knees for those.
For a wanna.
For a wanna. Get weak at the knees for a wanna.
Speaking of going weak at the knees, so many of the stunts were filmed practically. And doesn't that just make your bones hurt thinking about it?
Far out. You are bruised and battered coming out watching the film.
Yeah, the majority. When you see the amount of stunts in this film, it is really quite impressive.
Yes.
And the action is just so dynamic and it's really thrilling to watch. They nail the action in this film.
We had Chris O'Hara as the stunt designer and coordinator and also the second unit director.
And we also mentioned that world record breaking stunt before, the longest cannon roll ever at 8.5 times. That was Logan Holliday that did that. He was Ryan Gosling's driving stunt double.
Madman.
He's the one that stepped onto the beach just around the corner.
Yes. When we say it's filmed in Sydney, it's like a lot of this film was filmed local.
Yeah.
To us, which is really, really exciting.
Really, really exciting. The previous record for that cannon roll was held by Adam Curley on Casino Royale with 7. So he did it another 1.5 times.
Yes, I'm thinking I can see that car roll moment. Oh, how disappointing. James Bond, you got to step up and do 9.
Yeah. Well, Aaron Taylor-Johnson might have that.
There we go.
If he gets announced soon. Do you think it's going
to
be him?
I want it to be him. I'm not at the, it may be. Well, what is the truth? If I was like, I have him in my mind as cast as James Bond.
Yeah.
So it just has to be now.
There you go. One thing I want to say about the action and the stunts and things, they use a lot of cutaways during those sequences, which is, I guess, somewhat necessary sometimes to get the magic of those things happening. But I felt it diluted the intensity and the energy of those scenes. Like sometimes
for real? It cut,
yeah, like sometimes there was that duality happening between, like, you know, Ryan Gosling doing a massive stunt across the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yes.
And then it would cut to like Emily Blunt doing karaoke. And I just found the amount of times that they did it, like they were trying to show the duality of what was going on for the both of them. And I guess that's a technique. It's useful sometimes.
Yeah.
But for me, it really took away from the intensity of the action.
Oh, that's
especially
a shame.
After you'd gotten those really great one-a shots where it just pulled you in and showed you the incredible like attention to detail that went into these and what they pulled off.
Mm.
Yeah, it jarred me out of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess it makes sense for this story and the progression, what Emily Blunt's character is feeling at that time and then what Colt is going through. I quite like the juxtaposition because it played out quite funny to me. But speaking of that stunt across Sydney Harbour Bridge, they actually closed down that bridge at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And I drive over the Harbour Bridge to and from work every day. Like it's my...
Do you?
Yes.
That can be quite dangerous in the sense that...
What do you mean?
It's always being gridlocked.
Yes. So...
Not literally dangerous.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh my God, should I go another way? What don't I know?
Yeah, no.
That was huge news actually at the time. Ryan Gosling's in Australia, all that stuff.
Let's talk about the locations a little bit more since we're on that. Shout out to all of the stunning Sydney and South Sydney locations. As you mentioned, the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Opera House, but also Boat Harbour Beachfront in the Sutherland Shire.
Yeah.
God's country, as they say.
All right.
I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. It was a mostly outdoor shoot.
Yes, I love that too.
And Australian weather doesn't always play ball. We're known for having four seasons in one day.
Mm.
Moment of silence for Crowded House, who wrote a song and they're from New Zealand, because it's actually New Zealand that has four seasons in one day.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was funny. If you're from New Zealand, you get the humour of that, I guess. It can be boiling 1 minute, seriously, in a Sydney summer and pissing down with thunderstorms the next.
Yeah.
So to get the shots that they got, they have to really move quickly.
Absolutely. And I love on-location filming, and I was really surprised at how much there was out on location. And it just offers such a brilliant experience for the audience. Mm. You can't duplicate that on a soundstage. You can try, but you still know whether you have blue screen, green screen to fill in the gaps. So when they're in those cars driving over those sand dunes and they're literally shooting the sci-fi film, which is the film within a film, in front of the Opera House, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yes. But for us, it's ridiculous, but it's so funny.
I'm just like, no. That's like a really quiet set of stairs. People are doing like little jump photos, you know, tourists in their own town or whatever. There's not some sort of like alien invasion. But I just loved that they were like, you know what? We're just going to put this in front of the Opera House. And that's impressive.
Do you know what's funny as well is I remember the spaceship set piece on the beach just around the corner, right?
Did you see it?
I did see it. I drove down to the beach a few times, you know, to go for a walk on the beach. And you can see it quite clearly from the track that goes down to the beach.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. But I thought that was Furiosa filming because that also filmed in the same location.
Yeah.
And I saw the spaceship and I was like, what? Is that the Fall Guy or is that Furiosa starting up? And like it could have been from either, but now it makes sense when you see the film that they're filming this sci-fi film called Metal Storm.
Yes.
Which is actually inspired by a real Universal Pictures film.
June.
No.
No?
June. Oh. No, called Metal Storm.
Oh, far out. Really?
Yeah.
Because I kept laughing every time they showed scenes from Metal Storm because I don't know whether it was intentional. Surely it has to be. But it looked like June. And even the soundtrack that went with those scenes are like,
Oh yeah, that was quite
like
funny.
A Hans Zimmer score knockoff. Yeah. And I got a kick out of that every time.
Yeah, it was really, really, really fun. Do you know what I got a kick out of?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump to the end of the cast list here, or the bottom of the cast list. Teresa Palmer.
Yes.
Living her best life out there as like the girlfriend crazy co-star of Aaron Taylor Johnson on this film. I was cheering for everything she was doing in the background of this film. Like if you look off to the side at her during some scenes, fucking hilarious.
Right.
Really, really good.
Good rewatch value.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. She's amazing.
Had full creative control to just go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't actually recognize or realize that it was her until quite late into the film. So when I did, I was like, oh my God. So I just enjoyed it a bit more after that.
She was having so much fun and you could tell it was just great. A brilliant performance. Let's jump back to the top of the cast list.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers. Mm. He spends a good chunk of the first part of the film before his accident swanning around like a movie star, this character.
Perfect way to describe.
Yeah, but I also found it hard to reconcile Ryan Gosling as a behind-the-scenes underappreciated stuntman.
Because he's Ryan Gosling.
Because he's Ryan Gosling, right? He's a fantastic actor, but yeah. He's so Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, he is. And if you know the order of things, he filmed this after Barbie. So they actually had to wait to film this until he was done with Barbie.
Right.
And the blonde hair was still, rocking the blonde hair just with a different sort of cut and look. So not that I would say I was distracted, but I was like, I know where you've been before making this film. And it was the biggest film of like 2023. So I don't know. It was all like, he is a huge star. He got an Oscar nomination for that.
Yep.
And yeah, to think that he's like this down and he's like stunt guy who no one really appreciates or respects.
I guess that explains the kind of frosted tips that he's rocking in this film.
That's exactly it. I was like, oh, I wonder if they were looking at him and go, do you know what?
The dirty roots.
The dirty roots. Maybe we could make this blonde thing work.
It works for the sci-fi film though, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely does.
It really does. Love is Colt's driving force in this film. I think that's more believable than him being an underappreciated stuntman.
Well, he is a leading man in every way you look at him. And then when you put him in a position where he needs to demonstrate charisma and a connection to someone in a love sense.
Ugh.
And then you throw Emily Blunt as his respondent to that, and it is just perfection.
It is. It knocks you off your seat.
It really does.
It really, really
you,
is
you
good.
You root for these characters.
Yeah.
I mean, you root for them in the sense that you don't want them to die after they do certain stunts, but then life starts imitating art where he's actually having to do crazy shit without the controls of a film set. As wild as the film set that they're making, maybe presenting itself to the audience. But it's really, really exciting.
And Emily Blunt's just effortlessly wonderful in everything she does, isn't she?
She's kick-ass here.
She is actually, yeah.
Because she's a woman trying to prove herself in a male-dominated world, and she's working her way up from being a camera operator into female director for a big budget picture.
Mm.
And it's great to see her creative convictions and then be absolutely charming while doing so.
Yeah. Another absolutely charming actor is Hannah Waddingham as Gail, the producer.
Yes.
God, I love her. Like, I'm having a serious love affair with her at the moment, like completely one-sided. She doesn't know about it, but she's so magnetic in everything that she does. She's magnificent.
She is great.
But what on earth was the point or motivation of her character in this film?
Well, I mean, there's spoilers within that question,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess we avoid spoilers, but she just flip-flopped all over the place. Like, everything she did was a plot of convenience, but also contradicted itself.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to me in the end. When they finally revealed all the stuff that was going on in the film and her place in it and what was happening, I just thought, what?
It can unravel once everything comes to a head and you think, is that the clearest path for her character and her involvement?
Yeah.
Also, I think it's partly a producer who is narcissistic and only has one goal, is just to get a film made.
Mm.
And there's all this chaos going on around her. So I don't know, not that that justifies it, but no, it's a bit messy.
To me, she felt shoehorned in here as like a caricature of an overbearing producer.
And she was a caricature in many ways. She was written, but that wig that she wore, those glasses, and her, she's sucking on Diet Coke the whole time in that sippy cup, that huge, those
mainlining it.
Huge, obnoxious, freaking
big,
Frank
dumb
Green
cup. Big dumb. Have you seen that SNL sketch?
No.
Big dumb cup. I'm going to show it to you after we're finished recording.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I wasn't loving her character in this film. I didn't see the point. Winston Duke, as Dan Tucker, stunt coordinator and Colt's closest friend, was also just there for convenience, I think. I don't understand the point of him, and I think he was wasted.
Yeah, other than them confiding in each other, or maybe Colt sort of confiding in him because they were mates, just kind of helped make sense of his journey from time to time. But
he just appeared and then he disappeared and then he was barely heard from again until the end.
Yeah, that's right. There was a gap of his involvement for a bit. But you're always going to have those characters in a film like this because they're also making a film. The stunt coordinator is there, so he kind of shows up from time to time.
But there's always room for a sidekick best friend.
Yeah, sure. You wanted to see him get in amongst more of
the
action.
I wanted to see more of him.
He was a stunt coordinator, for goodness sake. Yeah. That's actually a missed opportunity.
And also he's Winston Duke. He's fucking fantastic.
He's the best.
Use him more. You know who else is fucking fantastic? Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Like, this cast is stacked.
It really,
really
is.
Really, really good cast.
Yes.
He plays Tom Ryder, who's the typical cliched, arrogant, insecure actor whose ego is just that little bit too big for his boots.
Just a bit too big. But the best thing about that portrayal is that it is unhinged, and Aaron Taylor-Johnson is having the time of his life.
And speaking of 8 abs.
Yes.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. Let's just pause there.
Let's hope that Bond has a lot of shirtless shots.
Can we have a moment of silence for Taylor Johnson's abs?
I thought you were going to say for you. Let's have a moment of silence for me because I'm dead.
I'm dead. Mop up on aisle 3.
Oh, God, you'll think this is our challenges review again.
Oh, yeah, get the moist towelette out. No, but he's scared of his own shadow. Like, he's a coward, and that's quite comforting in a narcissistic character where, you know, they present one way, but they're actually really small and insignificant. Mm. And I think he balances that chaos really well.
Yep. Have we covered everything about the Fall Guy that our listener needs to know?
Yeah, I think so. Why don't we wrap up our take on the film?
Let's do it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Good. The Fall Guy is the very definition of a popcorn blockbuster, packed with top-notch action set pieces, superstar performances, fun comedy, a dose of heart, and let's not forget those stunning locations. It's David Leitch's most personal and endearing work to date, and that helped make it an utterly entertaining ride from start to finish. I'm going to give it 4 popcorn kernels out of 5. It gets an extra half a point for showcasing Sydney and Stunties in such an awesome way.
Stunties.
Stunties.
Love it.
I'm part of the crew. Stunty.
One of us. One of us. No, I stub my toe and I have to take 3 days off work.
I thought you were about to say, I'm a stunt person. I stub my toe.
Whoa, he's crazy. He stubs his, he's the stub toe guy.
And I kept walking.
I'm brave. This movie rocks were my final written notes while watching, and I hope you'll feel the same. Whether you're a fan of films about filmmaking, the action genre, big in-camera set pieces, or a good old laugh, this film has it all. It is a surprise hit of the year for me so far, and I cannot wait to watch it again. Gosling and Blunt demonstrate why they are superstars, and Leitch not only pays homage to his stunt person heritage, but propels the community who are behind the impossible, bringing them to the front and center, and make us stand up and take note as they all fall down.
Woohoo!
Woohoo. I'm going to rate The Fall Guy 4 popcorn kernels as well.
That was a brilliant summation, Tim. Very well done.
Thank you very much. Ow, my toe!
Well, I was set on fire the other day.
Jesus.
I'm joking. The Fall Guy is in Australian cinemas from April 24, and obviously we recommend that you go see it.
Highly. As always, friends, thank you so much for listening.
We'll catch you next time.
We have a website, popcornpodcast.com. Make sure you check it out. We've got all our episodes up there for you.
If you'd like to get to know us a little better, there's an About Us section and we run ticket giveaways. So keep an eye on the website for more information.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.